Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center. Today the doors are open. The question is about marriage communication. How do you guys do in your marriage? I would ask the question, where do you get stuck? All of us have a point of getting stuck when it comes to communicating in marriage. Where is it that you run into problems? You don't clarify, you don't understand what they're trying to say, or you disagree about things, or you just don't talk? You know, at this thing of helping couples in over the years, and we've helped and talked to a lot of them, thousands over the years, it often mostly comes back to communication. We either don't agree on the content that's being spoken about, we don't agree about sex or money or about kids, or we don't agree about faith, or it's just a lack of understanding. We're just not understanding each other. We're missing each other, you know. My speech is being missed by my wife, and her speech is being missed by me. And I tell the story about how we judge ourselves by our good intentions, right? We judge ourselves by what we're trying to do, and other people judge us actually by our words and by how they interpret them. And there's where we get into problems. You know, I tell the story when I'm out speaking about the Lazy Boy chair at home, where I sit back and I watched Donna working in the kitchen, you know, and she was pulling things out of the dishwasher. And, you know, get the key. I'm watching her from my Lazy Boy, right? I don't think there was a game on that night or something. And I was watching her, and she would take the cups out and put some over on that side, on the right side of the kitchen. And then she'd put some plates over there on the left side. And in my logical male kind of let's make life better supervisory counseling mode, I'm thinking, you know, there's a better way of doing that. You know, I could save her a lot of steps. So stupid me, I told her. See, you know, my intention was good. I wanted to help her, you know. But what she heard was, hello, why don't you come over here and do it yourself, or why don't you help, or why are you criticizing me? And, you know, intentions and experience sometimes don't match. And we can run into that kind of problem every day in our marriage. And sometimes you can laugh it off, and sometimes people get stuck. Some of you, your marriage absolutely was put into the ditch because of poor communication. So let's think about this together. Where is it you guys run into a problem in communication and marriage? Give me a call and let's go. 888-888-1717.
I have been married 41 years. And not a whole lot of excitement and things going on anymore. But we have that deep relationship from spending this many years and time trials together. And the time I feel most loved by my husband at this point in life is when we're sitting in church together. I love that feeling of being in agreement before the Lord and loving Him together.
I feel most loved by my husband when we spend time together just working outside or in the yard or hitting golf balls into the net. He is the most wonderful man in the world. I absolutely love him.
All right, talking marriage communication today at 888-888-1717. Cheryl is on the line first up with a question here for me today. Cheryl, go right ahead.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'm so glad to have the chance to talk to you. I just really, your program is great.
Thank you.
My husband and I generally are pretty conservative and agree, and we like going out and hiking and doing things out in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. But when we get to talking about, you know, life isn't so great and why did this happen, his view of God is God's just there. He really isn't interested in us personally, and why does he do these things to us, or why doesn't he punish people that are really bad? And I feel like Christ is involved. God is involved in us, with us through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to, you know, his God is not a personal God. And I just don't know. Sometimes I feel like, I mean, I'm not supposed to necessarily be God's advocate, because I can't explain. But I just really wish that he would have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
I think he was saved as a child. but his growth was not good throughout his adolescence.
Well, Cheryl, listen, this is a pervasive problem. We've got a lot of people listening. I'll put you on hold there with the phone ringing in the background. But it's a pervasive challenge in marriages, and it's at the root of this whole thing of being unequally yoked, being on the same page, and so on. And wishing and hoping is not enough. Praying certainly is what you have to do. And you got to pray. You got to say, Lord, move in my life so I can be the woman I need to be. Work in my husband's life. Draw him to yourself. I can't do that. I tell people over and over in marriage, you're not the Holy Spirit. That's not part of your job assignment. Your job isn't to save your husband, to, you know, convict your husband or to, you know, get him in a corner spiritually. I think you know that. You need to back off and just get around the areas that you do agree on. Like you say, you have things in common. I don't know if you have kids or not, but raising your kids sounds like you have some conservative values that you share together. In other words, focus on those things that you do have an agreement. And in the areas where you don't have an agreement, you pray for him. If you can, you know, bring up your answer to why you do believe, that's great, to make a defense for why you believe. The scripture talks about that. I think as you share with your husband what God is doing in your life experientially and what you're experiencing of God's personal relationship with you, that's a positive thing as well. But you know what? I think as long as a hope deferred, as the scripture says, makes the heart sick, as long as you hang on to that hope as though it's going to determine your happiness and your contentment every day, Cheryl, it's going to wear you out.
Well, this is kind of where I've gotten to after all these years we've been married, because he is a good husband,
yeah.
And he does. I think he was saved as a child. It's just his... There's a song out there that I've written. I appreciate to KFLR so much, that came out some years ago, how we make God be our God, and we view him, and right now at church we're going through a book, Plan B by Pete Wilson, When God Doesn't Show Up Like You Think He Should, and it's just been a really big help, and yeah. Sometimes in the nitty-gritty, you forget to pray.
I think, Cheryl, listen, a couple of things I'd really encourage you. Speaking as a man, the last thing a man who's not on the same page with his wife spiritually wants from his wife is a nag, a spiritual nag, okay? Ain't going to work. Pray for him, love him, find things you have in agreement. But I have experienced with people that I've worked with over the years, it's that consistency from the Christian spouse. Even it says in Scripture, if you're living with a person who's not a believer, continue to live with them, but you love them, you care for them, you pray for them, but don't allow their lack of faith in Christ or not being on the same page spiritually to frankly destroy your day. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your walk in Christ. Enjoy what God's doing in your life, because I think that's the best testimony you can give to that unsaved husband.
One thing we're doing intentional in our marriage to help with communication, and I'm a good listener, but I found that I wasn't always listening real well to my husband. So what I'm trying to do intentionally is when he wants to talk, when he opens up, that I really give him my undivided attention and really apply the listening skills that I have, rather than just continuing to cook or crash pots and pans or whatever. Just trying to listen to him and really listen and let him know I'm listening, and that has helped. So I'd let you know. Thanks.
Bye. All right, thank you. And talking communication today at 888-1717 with Lori in Michigan. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What's your question for me?
Well, I'm not sure what the question is, but I guess I'll tell you a little bit about the situation, and maybe you can just respond. I understand that I can't control my husband. I totally get that. And he is not interested in controlling me. He just gives me the choice, your way, my way, or the highway. So that's what happened not too long ago, and I chose the highway. And actually, no, at this particular discussion, I was kicked out of his apartment. I was in the process of moving in, and I was not yet on the lease. And he wanted me to move in. He really wanted me to move in, but we had a difference in...
Wait a minute. See if I understand
level.
This. You're married. How long have you been married?
Well, this time we've been married for 7 years.
Wait a minute. This
and
time.
We
so this you've been through
for
this.
8 years.
So you were married, left because of this same kind of thing. There was a divorce, and then you came back.
Well, we divorced previously because he had moved out and moved in with another woman.
So why did you all come back together? I mean, what happened to make this marriage come back? I'm kind of confused.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you are. We had two kids. One of them, they're grown adults now, but at the time, they were still living with me. I had custody. He basically realized that he didn't want to throw away his family. He wanted to reconcile, and he said that he was following God, and you know, he wanted to do the right thing. So, and my younger son was about 6 at the time, and you know, he wanted his parents together and all.
All right,
that,
so you came back.
Stuff.
You came back, got remarried, but you never got the core issues.
We didn't really remarry right away. It took a while, but he did come back, and neither one of us really liked the idea that we were living together without being married. But yet there were still some issues. So, and then in the meantime, before we got remarried, he got heavily into cocaine and alcohol.
All right, Lori, stop. Just stop everything.
Sure.
One of the things I've learned in life is when someone hears me say, I'm confused, usually it's because the person is confused in what they're trying to communicate. And I think you hear that because you couldn't even articulate a question. It's just, I've got this thing going on here. We don't communicate, married twice. There's been a history of, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, leaving, throwing me out, then I'm back. And I'm sure that there's a long story here in terms of up and down. Here's what I have found over the years. Whenever there's confusion, until you can articulate what the problem is clearly, you're never going to be able to set an intentional goal to work on it. Because what happens is when all we see is this problem in front of us without any articulation or clarity of the problem, nothing's going to get better. I will tell you this, though, Lori. If there's cocaine, if there's lack of communication, if we're not on the same page, this isn't going to get better. I mean, there's got to be an acknowledgement of what is God's intention for a marriage. It's for two people who come together, respect for each other, not perfect people, who are willing to commit and then live out that commitment with nobody else involved, and keeping other things out of your life like drugs and things that are going to drag you down, and commitment at that level. And Lori, I guess what I'm saying to you is I think if you guys are serious about your marriage, you better get some help. The two of you need to get with some help. Your husband needs some help and you need some help. Because my guess is, as I hear you talking today, you're as confused as I was.
Actually, I'm not confused. I understand what you're saying and why you would say this to me. What triggered me to call was that the subject matter is communication, which we obviously have had a hard time with. He's not currently using drugs or
good.
Alcohol.
Good, fantastic.
So that part's good.
Good for him.
And I guess really you just confirmed for me, I guess what my question is how do I go forward? And clearly I can't. I already know I can't control him.
No.
I'm not trying to move back in there. I'm not communicating with him.
You're not in there now. You're out now.
Right. I never totally moved in. I was in the process of moving in, and he got upset with me trying to control the heat, which, you know,
control
I slightly asked him, can I turn the heat down? And that's when he was feeling a loss of control.
Yeah, and that can be a big thing. Lori, listen, while you're separated now, this is an opportunity to get some help for both of you and redefine the nature of the relationship. And we don't go moving in and all of that. If you guys can't agree on setting the temperature, you're not going to agree about the big stuff, okay? I know that can be big stuff around some houses sometimes, but not to the degree of saying, hey, get out of here because we can't be on the same temperature, please. you know, this is an opportunity for you and your husband to decide, are we going to be married or not? Are we going to understand what marriage is and do what God's intention is in marriage? And this is an opportunity to do that, and I would encourage you to do it. And I'll tell you, you're not going to do it without communication. So if we've got you thinking in that direction, then I think it's been a productive call. Thanks for calling. Number nine on the list is, of course, we did a whole lesson on this. They declutter their lives regularly. And I was looking at verses in the Bible that really talked about decluttering your life. And what I found was that there are 93 verses in the Bible where we are commanded to give up everything in order to follow Christ. That's a pretty sobering thought. 93 times God chooses to say, declutter your life, declutter your life, declutter your life, follow me, declutter your life. We live in a cluttered culture, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. We're the richest people on the planet. We have more stuff than anybody else on the planet. But I'll tell you what, successful people know how to set aside the things that are less important to focus on the things that are most important in their life. That's an excerpt from the teaching that focuses on what successful people do intentionally. And this is your last chance today to receive a very special gift that we want to make available to you. And when you join us in support of the Ministry of Intentional Living as a monthly member, right? Which means that your monthly support of $1 a day, $30 a month, that's going to go to reach more people for Christ, help us get this signal and message out around the world to see marriages changed and young people standing up to choose to be intentional in their family and in their life. We're also going to send to you, to encourage you, to mentor you on your journey, a brand new teaching each and every month. And this last chance to receive what successful people do as our gift to you to say thanks when you join us monthly. And also, by the way, it's also the last chance to receive, if you can't join or not at this point to do that, but you can share a single gift or an additional love gift for the ministry, we have My Daily Walk Devotional. This is the last opportunity to make this available. And it's a 365-day devotional just intended to encourage you on your walk, created by our staff around the five essentials of life, one each day, scripture, a devotional thought, and then a one thing challenge. And it's our gift to you when you join us today. So you say, well, I'd like some more information on that. You can check it out at the website. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call and talk to one of our ministry staff. When you do, the number is 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, press number 4. It rings right into our staff area where they process all the wonderful support that comes in to help us carry on with this ministry. So God bless you. He said, she said, we've been talking about marriage communication today. Can I encourage you to take one thing you've heard, something that was prompted by the Spirit in your life, and apply it to your marriage, and then tell us about it, okay? We'd love to hear your stories. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's producer Rob for Intentional Living. If you hear something on the program today and think, wow, I wished I could hear that later, you can. In fact, most nights before bedtime when things settle down, I pull out the iPhone and listen to that day's Intentional Living program on iTunes. And if you don't have an iPhone, just go to your smartphone's app store and download the Intentional Living app for free. And voila, you can hear any program on demand right there on your smartphone or on your tablet. And if you're at your laptop or desktop computer, head over to theintentionallife.com and then to Program Highlights, and you can access all the archived Intentional Living programs searchable by title and keyword. It's just one more way to help you live an intentional life in Christ. The website again, theintentionallife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Welcome to another Intentional Minute from our Intentional Living Center today as we continue the top 10 list, the intentionals, on experiencing financial freedom. Number nine on the list is pay down some of that consumer debt. It drains you, not only the interest, but how it compounds. There's freedom when we can get out of debt. God's never called us to be in bondage financially. And so my encouragement to you is to look at your consumer debt. It could be car payments, maybe it's a credit card, but you start knocking these things off one at a time.
Maybe starting with a credit card, the one that has the smallest amount, get that paid off and then pay off the next one. And then take care of those car payments. It may mean you need to sell a car and, you know, drive an old clunker for a while, but getting out of debt, there's freedom. And when you do that, you know what? That's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
Who's your favorite?
Huh?
Who's your favorite?
Oh! You, of course.
And who's your favorite?
I said, you.
What?
You asked me who's my favorite. It's you.
Thanks, but I was just adding some favorites to the web browser.
Okay, well, I have another for you. It's theintentionallife.com.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Yep, you can listen on demand, keyword search the program archives, shop the online store, connect to social, and even get freebies.
Theintentionallife.com, my favorite.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. You know, we're just into the new year, and if you're already feeling, well, overwhelmed, then join our prayer community. Go to theintentionallife.com/prayer. That's theintentionallife.com/prayer. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. You're indeed correct. Our prayer community is available to you and very active. People praying for one another at theintentionallife.com. Let me say this about marriage communication. There's a verse in the Old Testament in the book of Amos. Bet you haven't been there in a while. Amos 3:3 that says, "How can two walk together unless they be in agreement?" And one of the keys to communication is coming to some agreement, even if we agree to disagree on some things, but we've communicated, we've talked it through, and we have some level of agreement. Agreement is a important part of any relationship in business and certainly in marriage. And have you come to an agreement? Do you have an agreement on things? If you don't, that can undermine being intentional in making your marriage work, okay? Join the discussion, by the way, online when you go to theintentionallife.com and get to Facebook through there.
Well, putting God first in our marriage is definitely both of you loving the Lord, worshiping together, having the same values and bringing up the children, which we always have. And my husband's always been the head of the household. I think that's important also.
We depended solely upon God and each other. And we didn't go to parents when we would have troubles. We got into those financial binds that young people often do. And we went to the Lord as our resource constantly and always. And we didn't go begging for money in other places or from parents to bail us out.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and let's get to the calls. Nicole is on in Michigan. Nicole, welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
My question, Dr. Randy, is as a loving wife, a strong believer in Jesus, what may I do to help my husband and my family when my husband has lost his faith?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Something external happened to cause him to walk away from his faith?
We have three beautiful daughters, and a lifelong dream of his is to have had a son. And unfortunately, the Lord, you know, saw differently. He is sovereign. I firmly believe that. And he has blessed us with daughters and not a son. And I know for some that must sound maybe very selfish on my husband's part. But for him, it's a real hurt.
And he's blaming God for that, like God didn't measure up.
That's correct.
Yeah, and I think you're right. You got people listening who are, their mouths are gaping open, right? And I'll tell you why, because they're thinking, hey, we didn't have any children, struggling with infertility. Nicole, listen, I don't know what's going on in your husband's life. We get disappointed for a lot of different reasons. You need to pray for him and not be the Holy Spirit in his life, and be a good mom, because you've been blessed. Three precious little girls. They need a dad. They need a mom. And we've got a lot of parents listening. You know, when we think about your children having grandchildren, the first question, the first thought is, God, just protect them, let them be healthy. You know, you whatever you give is a gift. We thank you for the little girls that come along and the little boys that come along. Each is a gift. And there's a little formula that we use, Nicole, in all relationships, everything in life. Expectations minus reality equals disappointment. And when our expectations are not in alignment with God's intention for our life, and then reality is different than that expectation, stepping away from God's plan, there'll always be disappointment. So to be specific for you, pray for your husband, be a great mom, and let God do his work in his life, okay? It's not your job to change him. And I hope and I pray that the two of you will really work on healing this relationship and being stronger in your relationship with each other. 888-888-1717. I'd love your thoughts on that. Maybe on Facebook, you got some thoughts that would be encouraging to Nicole. Go to theintentionallife.com.
I've been told that I've been a nagging wife on things that needed to be done around the house. But to be intentional, I've learned to start doing things on my own around the house. I've gotten the self-help books, and I've learned to do the pipe underneath the sink.
My husband and I are without a home right now. We have been for 5 months. We have learned to just really draw closer and closer to the Lord.
My thing has been living intentional by living by my vows that I promise, no matter what the deal is in my relationship, that I'm in it for better or for worse, and that's what I'm doing to be intentional.
And indeed, thank you. And by the way, every little girl is a blessing, and we have a bunch of them in as grandkids, a bunch of them, a bunch. Hey, listen, we love them all. In fact, little Kinster Kinsley was over this morning at the house, and she is so precious, as all our little granddaughters are, and our own daughter Andrea. So we think they're very special. And I'll tell you what, every life is a gift from God. Listen, today we talked marriage communication. If nothing else, I hope you've thought about one thing that you can do right now today to make your marriage better, the way you talk to each other or don't talk to each other. Maybe one thing you stop doing or one thing you start doing. What would it be? What one thing could you do, your part of it, in communicating with your spouse that would make the single biggest difference? And then do it. That is intentional living. Here to help you find your purpose in life, live your purpose, and to finish strong in Christ. Have a great day.